Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Here we are. We have made the turn. We are now less than a week away from Thanksgiving. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You want to stock up right now to get ready for the big weekend. Penn State, Ohio State coming up tomorrow. You want to make sure you're fully stocked. You also want to make sure you're fully stocked for Thanksgiving, the big Thanksgiving weekend. You may be having guests over. You want to make sure you're fully stocked and ready to go. You may be going someplace, and you want to make sure you do not arrive empty-handed. So you want to go to a place like Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, plenty of snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, yes, I'm looking at you in Sealands Grove right there. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And don't forget about, as we hit this holiday season, Brewers Outlet gift cards. Brewers Outlet gift cards. That will solve some of your gift giving in such a way where you're going to make the person you give the card to very, very happy. All right, we are also in the Sunbury Motor Studio. You want to talk about holiday happiness? Buy yourself a car. That's holiday happiness. All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best product, no doubt. Their product lines are the best. Awesome sales staff. They take care of it the life of the car because of a great service department. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, coming up, Penn State and Ohio State tomorrow. Noon will be the kickoff, 10:30 the airtime on the Penn State Sports Network and here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Houston Texans won last night. DeAndre Hopkins, a couple of big touchdown catches as they won it. By a score of 20-17 over Indianapolis. The Texans now 7-4. The Colts fall to 6-5. Also, Georgia Tech in college football beat NC State last night, 28-26. Penn State basketball tomorrow with Yale in the Jordan Center at 4. You see what Georgetown did last night? Beat Texas, 22nd-ranked Texas, 82-66. Very impressive. And Bucknell tomorrow, they get Syracuse. That will be at noon tomorrow at the Carrier Dome. Doug Birdsong at Eagle 107. And Bucknell football will be at Fordham tomorrow with Kevin Herr on the call from the Bronx on 100.9 The Valley. Coming up, Matt Leon from Philadelphia as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, all together now in Danville, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Also, Thanksgiving is next week. So a couple things. Number one, stock up for this weekend's big Penn State-Ohio State game. So stock up now, but also start thinking about gift cards. With the holidays on the horizon, a Brewers Outlet gift card tells everybody exactly how much you care. So why don't you do that? I think it's a great gift idea. Nice and easy. Believe me, easy also means you care. Just because it's easy, oh, it was easy for you to do that, it means you don't care that much. No, you do care because you thought of somebody to do that. So Brewers Outlet gift card, I think, makes the perfect gift. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget on Eagle 107 coming up tomorrow at noon, it'll be Bucknell basketball as they take on Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. Doug Birdsong will have that game for you. And the Nittany Lion football team tomorrow at noon will take on Ohio State. That will be at the Horseshoe in Columbus. Noon, the kickoff, and 10:30 will be the airtime. Jack Ham, Matt McGloin, Roger Corey, join me for that broadcast tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's amazing the number of elite athletes you'll see on the field tomorrow. And also, and I'll probably make this point a couple times during the course of today's show, but when you look at the last 4 years in college football, right now there are only five programs that have won 40 games or more over the last 4 years. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and the two teams you'll see tomorrow, Penn State and Ohio State. This is the fourth straight year that the Big Ten East is going to be decided between Penn State and Ohio State. Fourth straight year where the division championship, and essentially, for all intents and purposes, let's face it, the Big Ten championship's on the line. These have been the two elite premier programs in the conference the last 4 years, head-to-head. All right, the Eagles, coming off a tough one against the Patriots. It doesn't get any easier this weekend. And joining us from Philadelphia, Matt Leon. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Okay. Because they were worse offensively than the Patriots were. I think I have a lot of questions about the Eagles, the way they approached the game yesterday on offense. They have that touchdown drive, which was arguably the best touchdown drive of the Doug Peterson era. I mean, it was 95 yards against the best defense in football. It was, step-by-step, run and pass, great mixture. They get the touchdown pass to Goddard. And then after that, and yes, they did lose Lane Johnson after that, and that is a big loss. But they kind of shelved the running game and just tried to go bombs away, and they kept throwing the ball to guys that were just signed on Thursday and kept being surprised that it wasn't working. I was surprised that Miles Sanders was more of a part of the game plan, the passing game. He really was the one guy, when you looked at the people they had available at the skill position, Miles Sanders was the one guy you would point to and say, as a chance to get chunk plays, to be a difference maker. And they really didn't try to utilize him at all in the passing game. Now, Doug Peterson today said the Patriots did some things to take him away, and I'm sure they did, but they didn't even try. They pushed that off the table. Meanwhile, they're funneling the ball to Jordan Matthews, who, yes, he knows the playbook. He's been here a couple of times, but he was signed on like Thursday, and I don't quite understand it. I don't understand a lot of how they approached that game offensively after they scored the touchdown.
Yeah. Is the chemistry of the team being hurt by the fact that they seem to be running in as many players on and off the roster because of injuries, where they just can't get a consistent group to play every single game?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you look, they actually came out in worse shape out of the bye week on injuries than they did going in. They lost Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Howard without playing a game. So that was, I think Alshon Jeffrey, was a little banged up. The Jordan Howard injury kind of came out of nowhere. And he was really, I think, important to what, the offense had kind of established an identity the last couple of weeks, and he was a big reason for that. So obviously losing him was big. But that being said, is Miles Sanders a 30-touch-a-week NFL back on the regular? No. Could he have been for 1 week? Yes. So I don't quite understand the going away from him. But, like I said, they signed Jordan Matthews this week, and he was targeted six times. Boston Scott's a practice squad guy, and he's out there, and it's a tough way to live. I mean, Mac Hollins hasn't caught a pass since, like, September.
Yeah.
It's a tough way to live. But that being said, I just really felt like they didn't utilize the strengths they had on offense in that game. I guess the best way I could put it is, Doug Peterson called plays for the team he wished he had rather than the team he really had. And I think you
I will say this, with all due respect to the Eagles' offense, the Patriots' defense is, to their, especially in the secondary, they are really, really good. And I can't think of a secondary that's better than that in the NFL.
Oh, no, they're outstanding. And you know, there's no question, but there were plays to be made. I mean, even that last, you know, it wasn't quite a Hail Mary, but that fourth down play to Nelson Agholor back of the end zone on a zero blitz. I mean, is that an incredibly difficult catch? Yes. 25 teams in the NFL have a guy that could make that catch? Yes. You know, and Nelson Agholor gets twisted around, can't bring it in. Like I said, it would have been spectacular.
Sure.
But that's kind of like another layer on this is the next time an Eagles receiver makes a really difficult catch for Carson Wentz, I think will be the first time this year. We've talked about the, you know, they've had problems with drops, but they also have problems with balls that, yeah, might not be great on the money, but you just see NFL guys go up and make catches, and they just don't seem to do that. And you know, with a relatively consistency, they don't really help out Wentz on balls that might not be perfect. Now, that being said, I think Carson Wentz is very good Sunday. You know, I don't want to, he wasn't dropping dimes everywhere, but boy, they get into some ruts. He just does not get any help from his pass catchers going above and beyond once in a while, whereas you regularly see other teams make plays to bail the quarterback out.
Yet defensively, they played really well to the point where the Patriots go to, quote, their bag of tricks, and they pull out. It may not be Philly special, but it's the old Kent State quarterback Julian Edelman throwing the ball.
Oh, yeah, and the defense, you can tell how much more comfortable they are defensively getting Darby and Jalen Mills back. The whole secondary makes more sense. They're guys that can compete one-on-one where they were getting burned earlier in the year when those guys were hurt. Played well, but that being said, you know, in that type of game, you need the defense to make a play or two. And when I say make a play, get a turnover, field, do something to kind of jumpstart momentum. Didn't do that. They were down, they were very solid. You know, they only gave up a couple of big plays. One was the dump-off pass to Rex Burkhead for no gain, and Gary misses the tackle, and it turns into a 30-yard gain. For the most part, they played very well. But that being said, they desperately needed somebody to make a play on a ball, do something to kind of flip the field, turn things around, and they weren't able to do that.
Right, exactly. And that's dump off to Burkhead is a standard Patriots play. I mean, it's one you can read and get yourself in position. All right, so Seattle, Russell Wilson this week. It's a different quarterback challenge. How do the Eagles need to respond to it?
I mean, defensively, they need to play as well as they did. I think this is a tough matchup. I know they won the game in Buffalo, but for a lot of that game, Josh Allen gave the Eagles fits with the ability to move out of the pocket and run the football. Josh Allen has, like, the basic Econobuy skill set that Russell Wilson has.
Right.
And so I think that is going to be a difficult matchup. But it's going to come down, you know, listening to Doug Peterson's press conference today, I'm not real optimistic that Alshon Jeffrey will be back.
Right.
Doesn't sound like, I think Jordan Howard might be a coin flip. I do think you'll probably see Jay Ajayi. They signed him on Saturday, and he was active yesterday but didn't play. I think, especially if Howard can't go, you'll see Jay Ajayi. But once again, yes, he's a former Eagle playbook, but once again, you'll be the leaning on a guy that was on the street 6 days ago,
right?
And
exactly.
Making him that's a tough way to play. So I think this is going to be tough. When I looked at these two games, I actually thought the New England one was the more winnable one. They just seemed to match up better with the Patriots. I think this will be uphill. Yes, it's home, but it's going to be tough sledding. That being said, after this game, the schedule really opens up.
Yes,
they've only got
does.
One game against a team that you would really think they'd be challenged. That's going to be a huge Dallas game. But they've got the Giants twice, Washington, Miami. They've got a chance to make some hay here. They don't have to be much better than they were Sunday, and they should still be able to make a lot of hay after this Seattle game. But this I think this is a heavy lift. I think the way they're currently constructed, this is going to be a tough one.
All right. As always, Matt, appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Leon from Philadelphia. It's go time for the Eagles. Here we are heading into Thanksgiving week. They need to find a gear here. Cowboys have put a little bit of daylight between themselves and Philadelphia. It's go time.
That's coming up this weekend. Meanwhile, the Steelers have a bye week. They take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Yet, as you heard Neil Coulong say on the show earlier this week, his concern is it gets to be one of those 6-3 games, and suddenly Joe Mixon breaks one, and you're down 10-6. So, I mean, and Sean has been pacing back and forth for days since Neil made that statement. Ever since Neil said that, Sean's been pacing back and forth. That'll be on 100.9 The Valley. The Eagles, of course, on Eagle 107. And speaking of Eagle 107, Doug Birdsong will have the game tomorrow at the Carrier Dome between Bucknell and Syracuse, and that will be a noon start tomorrow. Meanwhile, Penn State football coming up tomorrow with the Nittany Lions in action taking on Ohio State. It is essentially for the Big Ten championship. I mean, I know there's a Big Ten championship game. I understand that. I've done the game. But the Big Ten champion has come out of this game in each of the last 3 years. In fact, make it four. This is the same story once again. It's not just, you know, it's a Big Ten championship. It's a potential college playoff berth game. This has got all, you know, this has got all the trappings you're looking for in a game, big game. And look, they've been good. Look, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at Ohio State and said, wow, they're pretty good. Well, guess what? They are pretty good across the board. You got two teams that have a lot of talent. You look at the talent that's going to be out in that field tomorrow. Chase Young. You know, Hamilton at defensive tackle. I had 3 sacks last week. Malik Harrison. Right? Jeffrey Okuda. Fuller. You get some big-time players out there. Sean Wade. Oh, wait a minute. Hamler, Freiermuth, Journey Brown, Noah Kane, Clifford, Fields, Dobbins, Olave. Oh, wait, Parsons, Tony, Rose Matos, Windsor, Tariq Castro Fields. Yeah, there's some elite talent out there. Wow. Today's show, talk about elite, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Here, Pat Freiermuth in just a few moments. And then next half hour, Frank Bode, Danny York Daily Record. And in the final half hour, we'll hear from Shaka Tony as Penn State gets ready to take on Ohio State tomorrow at the Horseshoe in Columbus. be a lot of debate about the college football playoff as to whether it should expand from 4 to 8. This is something the second that they put out 4, you knew that the expansion talk would come to fruition. There are some people that have talked about the college football playoff expanding to 6, where the top 2 teams get byes. At some point, there will be a lot of discussion about expansion, but when they do, it's not going to be about the competition. It's going to be, can they get more money out of it? Money will be the driving factor in all of this. And depending on how things play out with image and likeness and whether there's more pressure to pay student-athletes or not, that's going to be a driving factor. It'll be the money part of it. Now, you see that in college basketball. The college basketball tournament has expanded from 64 to 65 to 68 now. And again, all expansion is about money. Why is it you see 16 of 30 teams in the NBA playoffs? Money. Why do you see 16 out of 30 make it in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Well, they'll tell you in the Stanley Cup playoffs that the league does not begin to make money until they get to the conference championship round. In other words, the semifinals. That's when they start to make money. Individual franchises clear an important threshold by making it. In the end, that'll be one of the driving factors for the NFL as to whether they expand their playoffs, even though the formula's worked over and over. As we've discussed many times on this show, for some reason in sports, the concept of less is more has gone by the boards. Everything is about more all the time now. You have Thursday Night Football because they can sell it. Believe me, Thursday Night Football is not going away. And you could now, how they schedule it, I think, is going to be more important. Because the NFL already has a built-in bye week for everybody. I don't understand why the NFL has not come up with a concept of you get your bye week and then you play Thursday. I think you'd end up with some dynamite matchups on Thursday because you'd have better rested teams. Oh, and by the way, because you played Thursday, you're also better rested going into your next game. So I don't understand why the NFL has not done that. But again, under the less is more, you expand to Monday Night Football back in 1970. Okay. And it's a phenomenon. People love it. And remember, because there have been so few games on, suddenly the floodgates open. Wow, Monday Night Football, big deal. Then as time went, when the new packages came out in the last deal, or the next to last deal, NBC bid for and got Sunday Night Football. So now you have 3 games on Sunday instead of what we would normally see 2. Then the Thursday night package came up. Well, you look at the money for the Thursday night package that Fox is paying. There's no way on the planet they're losing that. No way. They're not going to give up that money for Thursday night. I just think they have to do a better job of scheduling it. You already have built-in bye weeks for everybody. All right, well then build in the bye weeks around Thursday night football so you get really good competitive games on Thursday night. Now let's get back to college football. The less is more premise. Well, look, you've got 4 right now. The problem you've had with the 4 to this point that has people pushing for more teams to be in is that for the most part, it's been the same programs in the neighborhood. It has been Alabama, Clemson every year, a heavy dose of Oklahoma, a dose of Ohio State. You know, one time you had Georgia, one time you had Washington. Penn State's been close to knocking on the door. That's why when we talked about in the previous segment, right, we talked about how there are only 5 programs in the country that as of right now have 40 wins in the last 4 seasons. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Penn State. Those are the only 5 that right now have 40 wins or more in the past 4 years. So those are the programs that have been knocking on the door. At some point, they will talk about expansion, but they're not going to do it unless they can get the revenue to do it. On ESPN side, do they want to commit more revenue to doing it and playing an extra round? And how much more do you want to put on the student-athlete? The student-athlete is already playing 12 regular season games. For the most part, not always, because obviously Alabama won the national championship but didn't have to play in the SEC championship game. But for the most part, teams that get to the college football playoff did play in their conference title game. Oklahoma, no. Alabama did not. Ohio State in 2016 did not. But, for example, Washington had to play in it. Clemson's had to play in it. Many times Alabama has too. Georgia's had to play in it. So that's 13. If you add another round, the two teams in the championship game might be playing their 16th game of the year. That's an NFL schedule. It doesn't affect the academic part. I know people talk about academics, but the college football playoff takes place for the most part, when they're not in school, for the most part. Now, when the national championship game takes place, you usually are in school at that point. In fact, Alabama goes back to school, I think, usually like the 2nd or 3rd of January. So when they play, for example, on the 10th of January or whatever, the 13th, they've been in school for a week. Remember when they were trying to get ready for Deshaun Watson? Jalen Hurts entered school early entry. He actually, as a true freshman, his first job was to impersonate Deshaun Watson on the scout team. Hey, you're with us now. Go ahead, do this. Just delay it. Sometimes you get some unusual situations like that. But under that concept, less is more. What makes the one-game playoff in baseball intriguing? It's one game. It's a winner-take-all. That's what makes it intriguing, instead of being a best-of-three. Less is more. But you know what? In sports, there's no turning back. Pat Freiermuth has had another great season. Ironically, not on the Mackey Award finalist list. You're telling me he's not one of the 8 best tight ends in the country? That's why I don't follow awards very, very, very often. Pat Freiermuth sat down, talked with the media earlier this week about this showdown with Ohio State and also about being left off certain lists.
Hey, Pat, how you doing?
How are you?
You told us last week that the top tight end award was something that was important to you, and you knew this was coming. You weren't one of the 8 semifinalists. Mm. Any reaction to that? We've heard from Franklin. We've heard from Clifford. We'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I thought that I did everything I could this year so far up to this point to prove that I'm one of the best tight ends in the country. But an award doesn't define who I am, define me as a player. I think I've done... I had a really good season so far, and it is what it is, and I can't control that now. So, I mean, my focus right now is on Ohio State and anything we can do to beat them and the season moving forward.
You gained motivation from the thought of the award leading up to it. Is there any different kind of motivation moving ahead now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously still motivated to win it. If it's obviously not going to be this year, then it's going to be next year or the year after that. But, yeah, if anything, it's just going to fuel me to play harder and play faster and do what I need to do.
How you doing, Pat?
Good, how are you?
Good. James was saying before that this game's going to be a heavyweight fight, you know, where one guy throws a big blow and the other counters, and you guys are going to have, like, both teams are going to make plays. Does that change or impact your mentality at all entering the game?
No. Obviously, Ohio State's a great team. They have athletes everywhere, and we have athletes everywhere, too. So I agree with what Coach said. There's going to be some big plays on both sides of the ball made. So we just got to roll with the punches and hopefully at the end of the day come out on top.
You mentioned your future and that award. You've kind of garnered some interest because you had that interesting path here with the 5 years. So are you planning on staying here? I mean, is that even an option that you could petition?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I haven't really talked about my parents or the coaching staff or anything about it. Something I would assume I'd probably think about after the season, but right now I'm focused on Ohio State and the season moving forward.
And when you look at that Ohio State defense, what's maybe impressed you about them? What's maybe stood out about them?
Yeah, there's athletes everywhere on the field on that defense. Whenever they sub, whenever they bring in new personnel, they don't skip a beat. They're fast, they're explosive, and they definitely got some strength everywhere on the field. Obviously, Chase Young, great player, and Kuda, their corner is really impressive too. And their linebackers are too. So, I mean, we're going to have our hands full, but we got athletes and playmakers too all over the field. So hopefully we come and do what we need to do.
Pat, you shared a recruiting class with Justin Fields for about 6 months. We spoke back then, how excited you were to play with him down the road. Now he's on the opposite sideline. Is it strange to look back and how recruiting works out and how college football is just such a big spectating thing that now in the game of the year right now, yeah, he's on the opposite sidelines trying to beat you guys?
Yeah, it's definitely weird. I remember I was with Zach and Ty Burton, and we picked him up at the airport for the spring game when he was here, I think. Obviously, he was planning on coming to Penn State, but he chose to go to Ohio State or Georgia. But now he's at Ohio State, and it's definitely weird playing against him, thinking he was going to be part of this team. But in the end, he had to do what's best for him. And obviously, I mean, I haven't talked to him since, but I supported his decision, and obviously he's having a great career so far.
Do you remember if there was a bit of a scramble in the recruiting class from the point where Justin decommitted to the point where Will came to the camp and got the offer and committed? Was it kind of a gray area period for you guys, wondering who was going to take on that role in the recruiting class?
To be honest, I don't really remember. But, I mean, I don't really remember. It's a long time ago.
This might be asking the same question twice, so please don't hurt me. regardless of whether whatever you're doing in your future, do you know if you're draft eligible next year? Because they said on the broadcast a few times that they were under the impression that you were. Regardless of what your plan is, do you have a baseline understanding of where you are on that?
Yeah, I know I am. But like I said before, I haven't really thought about it at all. Haven't talked to my parents or the coaching staff or anything like that. So, again, I'm not focused on that, but I do know that I am.
And how important is it to have for how well you played against Ohio State last year, to kind of have a performance like that against a team like that? How much does that help, not going into this weekend, because obviously you played a lot of football, but early in your career, to kind of have one of those confidence booster games?
Yeah, Ohio State is probably one of the best programs, if not one of the best in the country. So obviously having that be my first start in the whiteout and having a good game like I did, it definitely helped my confidence. That was last year, and hopefully, I've grown as a player and same as this team. So hopefully this year I can come out and the team can play well and I can play well, and see where that ends up.
How much pride do you take in your blocking? You've talked a lot about how you kind of, that was something you picked up in high school. And I don't know if you can judge this, but do you think that's something that's kind of overlooked when people are judging tight ends at this point?
Yeah, obviously I take great pride in my blocking, like I've said a lot of times. I've done a great job this year at the point of attack and moving dudes off the line of scrimmage to make holes for the running backs and Cliff. I do think it's an overlooked part of the tight end. Obviously, tight ends that can make play in the passing game and everything, obviously that's looked at a bunch. But I do think, when you look at NFL tight ends, like they are asked to block like most of the time too. So I think I take great pride in that and continue to do what I'm going to do in the run game.
Can you speak to what Nick Bowers' increased opportunity has added to the offense and how much pride you guys had in the late game drive the other day, which was, pretty special?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a special drive to be a part of. I mean, it was 9 minutes and it was a lot of split flow, so it was definitely a lot of big blocks. But, I mean, me and Nick take great pride in that. It's always great having two tight ends to rely on in the run game and the pass game. Nick's done a great job in both so far this season, and it's great to be on the field with one of my good friends, and we compete with each other and practice every single day to get better, and we're not afraid to let each other know if we're lacking one day in practice or if we're lacking on footwork one day in blocking. So it's awesome to be able to see him on the field and do his thing, and I'm happy with everything he's done so far, and he's going to expect to have a big game just like I am against Ohio State.
Might have four. Pat, your quarterback said this morning that he had received death threats at some point this season. I mean, were you aware when it happened? Did you have to talk to him at all? Were you surprised by it?
Yeah, I was aware when it happened. He talked to me about it for a little bit. At the end of the day, you hate to see it. But it is what it is. Me and him obviously talked about it. But, I don't think it affected him too much. I think he just kind of went off social media and didn't let it affect them. It's kind of cruel for people to do that when we're trying to put on for the university and make Penn State look good. It's not like we're going to go out every single... It's not like we're trying to lose, you know what I'm saying? It's definitely upset, and when fans do that, it definitely hurts. But, we kind of signed up for it, and but it is what it is.
Anything else for Pat?
Sean told us on Saturday afternoon that he anticipated it was going to be the best week of preparation for this group.
Yep.
I know you still have to hit the practice field, but through 48 hours or so, are you seeing that executed right now?
Yeah. I'm in the building yesterday. Me specifically, I was in there for like 6 hours watching film. I watched like four games, and specific cut-ups of certain players on the defense. And I think when I was in there, there was a lot of dudes watching film, and that was even scout team players watching film on their offense or their defense to give us the best looks and pick up tendencies, what they do. And I think that's been all year, to be honest. I think Justin Neff, you guys have seen me talk about him a lot, and even Vasey and Chismar, they do a great job watching film on the opposing team's defense so they can give us the best looks and play how that who they're representing in practice and how they can play their tendencies. So it's just awesome to have that buy-in from everyone knowing their role. So I think it is like another week, another game. Just we're not going to do different things because it's Ohio State week. We're going to stay consistent and stick to our process. But I do think the whole season guys have taken a lot of pride in watching film and implementing that on scout teams and in our preparation.
Based on your weekly preparation, maybe even including last year, has an opposing defender jumped off the tape like Chase Young does when you get ready for Ohio State? And if so, what does he do that makes him such a dynamic threat to deal with?
Yeah, I probably haven't seen, watching film, another dude like Chase. Obviously, Chase Winovich, maybe. But Chase Young is a great player. He just jumps out. He's just so physical. He's just physically dominant. He just rushes the passer really well, and he stops the run really well, and he's just an athlete out there. They like to move him around a little bit and kind of put him in mismatches. But we just got to be on our A game, and we have to identify him wherever he is on the field. Just so we can't wreck our game plan.
We asked Coach Franklin about his great to elite comment from last year. What do you remember about hearing that? How did you take that message last year? Because the clip kind of went viral in a hurry.
Yeah, last year, personally, I completely agree with him. We weren't up to that game. We were letting things slide. We weren't doing things how we do things now. And I do think that ever since that comment or whatever it was when he made it, I think the team and the whole program really took great pride in that. And that's when the 1-0 mentality kind of started building in and people started buying into it. And you could see that in the offseason. So, I mean, me personally, I think I took that comment that he made with great pride and wanted to bring this program back to its elite status.
That's Pat Freiermuth from his press conference earlier this week. It took place on Tuesday. The part that, of course, has people concerned is about the fact that he is actually eligible to put his name into the NFL draft after this year as a sophomore because of the extra year where he went to prep school. I mean, something all of us knew about. Somebody said, well, how come you haven't talked about it to this point? And I said, well, I haven't talked about it at this point because nobody asked me about it. Somebody asked me about it. I didn't give him the answer. But nobody asked, so I didn't give the answer. Just let him play. Yeah, he'll make up his mind on that later. Big game tomorrow. His first start was against Ohio State last year. He played really well. Pete Warner, the outside linebacker, they tried to cover him with Warner. Warner couldn't handle him. And, of course, Warner's back this year. Warner's playing better. But if they're going to put Warner on Freiermuth, I call that a matchup that you give the thumbs up to Penn State on. We'll see how it plays out tomorrow. Have to find out where Chase Young is on every single play, and they line up Chase Young in a variety of areas. That's why you do have to account for his spot on every single down, just like Justin Fields is going to have to account for Micah Parsons on every single down. Fields has been unscathed the last two games, has not been sacked. Wisconsin, to his credit, did get to him 5 times. Noon tomorrow, 10:30, the airtime for the Horseshoe in Columbus. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, back with the final hour of the show, next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.